You see the distant flames, they bellow in the night. You fight in all our names for what we know is right. And when you all get shot and cannot carry on, though you die, la resistance lives on. You may get stabbed in the head with a dagger or a sword. You may be burned to death or skinned alive or worse. But when they torture you, you will not feel the need to run, for though you die, la resistance lives on.
Croeso and welcome to Tales for Wales, the pod that never fails to incite a revolt in your aim to learn more about history. Does that mean you wouldn't want to learn history if I might have a biff that early doors?
Well,
maybe?
I wasn't properly listening because I was going to find my notes, but let's just pretend it was really good.
Yeah.
And resist the urge to
come back and say, that was such a sick intro.
That was
fucking class, mate. We are attempting, once again, attempting to do an in-person pod. This time, we're in the sacred
Casa
halls,
Casa del Cadge.
I don't know what was I call my own abode, the sacred halls or something. There, so.
The hallowed halls.
The hallowed halls. But yeah, no wind resistance this time, so this should be okay. I'm getting off tangent here. Anyway, here we are. We're back.
Yeah, and we should sound all right. If we don't, you'll never hear this. Or you will hear this, and you'll hear a message that starts saying,
sorry. The classic caveat. This is a guy who biffed it again. Sorry. You'd think after
although we did get
two plus years of this, we might be able to to get it right.
One of our kind listeners, Reese, did message the other day and put me in touch with a sound engineer who's covering the Euros at the moment. And he was like, oh, he's currently doing the Women's Euros in Switzerland, but drop him a message on WhatsApp and he can help.
I'm sure you'll ditch out on that.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah,
right. Sorry, girls. Yeah. I can't be doing that.
I'm not
going to
message until post-Eros.
Yeah.
But very kind to have some mental help.
Because I'm sure he'd be like, I'm on the next plane, boys. Yeah. Anything I can do.
Yeah.
No.
You said also you had a funny anecdote.
Oh, yeah. Let me segue naturally into it now.
We've got a bowl of crisps next to it. I am eyeing up so
I'm terrified to go and chomp them because I think it's a...
Maybe this might be ASMR.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Yeah, go on, test it. I bet that sounds really good. Let me do one as well. I just wanted another crisp. Wow. I hope you're joining with us, guys. I'm a crisp and a drink. So, I do have a funny anecdote. Very embarrassing. Natural segue, as usual. So this was a couple of weeks back. Mm. And like with any funny story these days, that I would usually tell my friends off the bat.
Yeah.
I've kept it to them because I want Frank's reaction to be genuine.
Hard.
Mm. Everything's content. So I went to the shop the other day. It was just before me and Amy were leaving to go to Dubai. So
did you say Dubai-bye?
Dubai-bye. And we had a sort of late night flight. We were flying about 10 p.m. So we weren't leaving here until like, I don't know, when I was four or something like that. So I went to the shop just to get us some lunch. I went for a little meal deal.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. What's your normal meal deal choice?
This time I went for...
I bet you're ham.
No butter. No. I went for prawn mayo, mate.
That is disgusting.
Prawn mayo. And I got a prawn mayo, a bit of seafood. I'm simultaneously the guy who won't have sauce on anything, but give me some shellfish.
I hate prawns. Mm. I hate shellfish. I don't really
like
fish.
You're not a seafood boy.
No, I thought...
You're a land man.
No, I am. I'm very much a hog of the land. Yeah, I don't like it. I took Emma for a fancy meal once. In like, I think it was called, it cost me a fucking bomb.
Mm.
And it was all like seafood goop. And it was like a taste of meal.
Goop? Garçon.
And like number eight was squid rings. And Emma said, oh, you can feel them wriggling inside of you. And I was such a grump. I was like, that's disgusting.
I'm in no mood tonight.
Yeah.
But so I went over to the local co-op, just a couple of minutes up from the road from me. Went to go get us a meal deal. On the way up, someone was texting me. I was fiddling around my phone, basically. Somehow, I don't know how, I turned the flashlight on.
Mm.
You know, so the light was going. Popped it back in my pocket. Because it was really bright, it's been sunny here recently. Yeah. I didn't notice it was even on. Popped it in my pocket, none the wiser. I was in the refrigerated section with all the sarnies and stuff. Felt my phone buzz. So as I was looking, I got it out again. And I was typing away and everything. And then I was like, oh, why is it bright like that? And I turned it to the side. And I was like, oh, the light's on. Who's next to me?
Okay.
Some quite young woman. Thought I was like, I don't know. When I looked up at her, it looked like I caught her catching me.
Yeah.
But I wasn't doing anything.
That is my anxiety nightmare.
And then I was like really over the top going, how have I done that? How have I done that? Have I turned my bloody light on? Like some fucking boomer doesn't know how to work his Android. And it was like, yeah, and it was just such, and she did like this disgusting, she went like, this, you can see me here. So it's like, she's this disgusting look and just sort of left. But I was going like, how'd that happen? Oh my God.
You were speaking out loud.
Yeah, well, I was going, how did I do that? Because it's like, nothing I could have said.
I know. Unless you go, look, I made that mistake, I'm sorry.
Check my albums.
I did it once on a train where it was on the train when you go between Cardiff and Bristol, so you go under the tunnel, and I got my phone out.
You were picking a girl's feet or something, yeah?
Well, I turned the torch on really quickly, then turned it off, because I thought I don't need it, but it looked like it flashed. Oh. And then I kept doing it to pretend like, I thought, I'll get my torch on so I can look under my seat. But then I didn't. He's autistic.
He's fine. Yeah.
But then someone looked at me whilst this, like, it looked like a flash just happened. And I was like, oh God, there's nothing you can do to save it.
I said to Amy, I was like, what could I have said to God? What, God, gotcha. Like, just really lent into it. But it was like, I wanted to be, you know, in my head, I was like going, if it was a photo that flashed, it was on constantly. I'm not taking a video, okay? But I was just like, oh.
I did watch some, like, TikToks of people getting caught doing that, like, creeps.
Well, this is it. I've seen it. Like, have you seen that one? Surely you've seen the same one as me, where it's all the gang hanging out, and there's a girlfriend and boyfriend on the same thing, and the girl's got her bare feet on the guy's knees, and then the guy goes, and he's got his phone up as if he's texting, but it flashes. And they're all like, dude got caught or something like that. And so, because I've seen that and gone, oh my God, how embarrassing.
Well, I saw a 4-year-old guy take a photo of these two, like, teenage girls, and they chase him around an airport, and he goes, I'm sorry.
So I was that guy. Yeah, you were. Basically. Yeah, yeah. I came home, like, hanging my head in shame. Yeah, I didn't want to eat my fucking prawn sarnie anymore.
Mute it up, blame you.
Yeah.
It's rotten.
And then Amy was like, "Oh, I'll check Dane's Court Hub to see if there's anything put on there." You know, those like shitty little like neighborhood watch groups.
Free colour loose,
absolute perfect in the local co-op. So yeah, that was my embarrassing tale. Yeah. I've been holding on to it because I need to enjoy it.
Yeah, I did like that. You often get in predicaments like that, don't you? I do quite like it.
God's test is strong as children, mate. So
yeah. I get into awkward. I get more awkward rather than. Sexually deviant situations.
I'm trying a sexual deviant. It just looks from the surface like I might be. Yeah.
I sent you a voice note earlier where I was just laughing, then I stopped because I can't. But I worked today. It was like a big company wide meeting, and when that happens, I turn the Xbox on. I sit on the sofa, far away from my computer, and I'm in my mode. Then.
Yeah.
And I was playing the game, and then I just said Frankie like that, and I was like, oh God, oh, I think I hit Al. And I was like, whilst I did it, I was halfway through putting a chip in my gob. I was like, whoa! I looked like a seagull had just been caught. I was like, oh! I had to rush over to the desk. And I was like, just so comfy and happy and chilly that I heard my name on the speaker from my CEO. And I was like, fuck.
But it was just our top marketing guy will run you through it.
But I was just there with a chip in my gob. And I laughed so hard afterwards because I was there, feet up on the sofa like this. And then I. Like an absolute slob goes. Right. Well, I was thinking, not for me and you. I'll mention on Sunday that we're watching this, so hopefully I'll give people a week's time to so they can watch it. We're talking about the Michael Sheen and Ivan Trajan film, and pretty bad. I don't know anyone else who's in it. Oh no, I know Gwen from Gavin and Stacey.
She was in it. I've made. A few notes here. I've got the whole list of the Welsh cast, right?
Okay.
So we got Ewan Rheon, however you want to say it, Michael Sheen, Tom. Oh, some of these are not Welsh people. Ooh. Sorry, this is just the cast. I'll just give you the cast. This is easier. Angela Riseborough, you might know her. She's quite big time. She's in quite a lot of things. Ewan Rheon, who was Ramsay Bolton in Game of Thrones, probably his biggest role, I'd say. Michael Sheen, who doesn't know Michael Sheen? Yeah. Thomas Lashing, he was also in Game of Thrones. He was Jack and Hagar, or Sexy Jesus, as we used to call him. He's a very dishy boy. Alexander Draymond, a.k.a. Uhtred, son of Uhtred.
Oh, shit. Which one is he?
He plays quite a small role in it. He's like the, I wouldn't say second in command of the Germans, but he's like, he's a bit pervy. He's like the pervy soldier. You wouldn't recognise him because he looks so different to
Uhtred.
Well,
should we say what the film is? We haven't really gone
into... Sorry, yeah. It's a film called Resistance. It's set in a fictional world where D-Day was a failure in World War II, and so the Germans managed to make it over to mainland Britain. We covered this on a previous episode. Franks, you Was it UK? Yeah, I think it was.
It was called
I can't remember what it was. It's like in World War II, there were these like contingency plans. Should the Germans sort of make landfall in Britain, there was all these like secret soldiers essentially stationed all over the country, but specifically in Wales, because they thought that would be one of the places they target,
and places like the Valleys, Aruri,
like, or industry places as well.
You know, also, they had lots of places where we'd have mountains to hide in. So any of the national parks, lots in Abergavenny, in Brecon, and in North Wales, they had them. And I was just going to say they were trained to. No one else knew about them, did they? They had the best gear. They had the most like up to date.
They were super well trained, like loads of explosives. And advanced weapons training and stuff. No, this is actually true. And like they used to get, didn't you say they used to get like a lot of shit because people would think they were draft dodgers or something, and like were shunning away from the war when they were actually kind of like sleeper agents, waiting to be sort
and they weren't allowed to retreat. And they also, and the reason they, no one knew who they were, in case the Nazis or the Germans did invade and then they tortured someone, they then give you a name.
No one knew who
you were. So it's like if they're torturing me and I don't know Jack is actually part of the secret agent, I can't say Jack's.
It's all like an intentional compartmentalization, isn't it? So no one knows who everyone is, who's part of the network. So this is a real thing, and this this film is based on a book that's set in a universe where
that comes into
the Nazis do make landfall in Wales, and it's the film starts off with one day all these women in this village wake up and all the men are gone.
Yeah.
And they don't know why, because they haven't been informed either. They're not sure why everyone's gone.
Can I just quickly say, make sure you're watching the 2011 one.
Yes.
Because I started off watching the 2021, which is stars... who's the girl who's in The Last of Us?
It's not Bella Ramsey, is it?
Yeah, Bella Ramsey. There's one, but where it's called Resistance.
You're like, you're not meant to be in this.
Jesse Eisenberg. And it's about World War II. And I watched about 15
Jesse
minutes.
Jesse Eisenberg, quintessential Welshman.
Yeah. I was like, why is this? But it's about the Jews' resistance.
There's so many films named just Resistance.
Yeah.
But yes, 2011 one you want to watch. But yeah, so that's the basic setup. And this, like I said, this is in a world where the Germans have already sort of, they're marching on Britain. And these sleeper sort of agents, if you like, have been activated. And so it starts off with these women in a small village waking up, their men are nowhere to be found. And then quite shortly afterwards, then a Nazi contingent sort of.
Or the, probably not Nazi.
Probably German soldiers. But they, because they have communications with Nazi high command, don't they? Yeah. So German soldiers sort of descend upon the village and it goes from there, basically. But like I said, there's quite a pedigree of Welsh actors in it.
Yeah.
The one, so we had. Like I said, Sexy Jesus, Jack and Agar from Game of Thrones, Thomas Walashing is in it. There's also Alexander Draymond, who, if anyone's watched Last Kingdom, is in it. Kimberly Nixon, Josie from Fresh Meat, she's in it.
She's
the absolute bit. Yeah, she's the daughter.
Yeah.
I think she says like two lines. She's just like, ma'am, and that's it. And there's also Melanie Walters, which is Gwen from Gavin and Stacey. So if you know your Welsh actors,
there's a few in there.
It's a bit of a big
And Michael Sheen, they kind of hung the film on him, but he's only in a couple of scenes. And
it struck me as a film that all these people it put on the front.
Yeah.
Apart from maybe I'd say that Thomas Flashing, who's a Sexy Jesus, he's in it quite a lot. Everyone else, very bit parts,
so,
I'd say.
When we do this now, should we assume that people back home watched it so we can talk about the scenes?
Yeah, I tell you what, we'll go into it. It will be spoilers. Yeah. If you really want to see it, turn off now, go watch it, then come back.
Because it's on Prime.
It's on Prime.
Yeah. It's only 88 minutes as well.
So I would say watch it, because we're going to go into spoilers. If you don't give a shit, just listen to our little musings about it.
Can I start with the thing I really liked about it? Yep. I thought I loved the grainy quality on the camera, and I love that it captured like very Wales, like the vibe of like, especially in that era, you know, 60, 70, or however long ago it was, in the 40s. When you go visit places in like mid Wales and North Wales, you visit these farms that haven't changed in 200 years.
Yeah.
They have that like really.
I did think it
grain.
Was quite loyal to that kind of feel, wasn't it? Because it was filmed. I looked it up. It was filmed in Hereford, which is in England, but just like literally over the border.
Yeah, Tintin Abbey's in it as well.
Yeah, and also Monmouthshire. It was Monmouthshire, filmed as well.
Yeah.
So it does have the aesthetic of, like you said, there was because it's in a small village. It's set that kind of old farmhouse look. Like you said, that nothing's changed in like a few hundred years. It really did. Keep that. I thought the cinematography was quite nice.
I thought the cinematography was really good.
Great shots of Wales and like lovely the Bowling Hills, Batman and things. That was really good.
And I think they do film part in the Tintin Abbey, which is, I think they're trying to imply that it's been bombed.
But yeah.
That's how it looks anyway. Mm. And the shots, I noted that, the shots of scenery are class. And like, yeah. As a aesthetic film, you know, it's not hugely high octane,
no.
But it is like...
It's pretty. Really, yeah. It's certainly pretty.
Yeah, and not pretty as in good looking, but I actually heard Frankie Boyle say this about Scotland. He used to say, I love Scotland, but it's always raining. And then as he got older, he realised he loves Scotland because it's always raining. Like that has a beautiful...
It has its own beauty.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love the rain.
And that's very true of this film in that it captures that kind of... Maybe if you're not from Wales, you might not sort of get that as much, but it's like some of our rugged landscapes.
Yeah.
And it's not... It looks great in the sun and the blue skies, but also it does have a kind of magic to it, and kind of like rainy.
If you can enjoy the rain, I think you can enjoy Wales a lot.
And I love definitely. It. But it's set in the Olchon Valley.
Yeah, Olchon.
That's in Hereford as well. Again, it is technically England, but it's right over the border, it's right next to it.
But then, like, Tintin Abbey's in Wales, so it's one of those places
you couldn't be looking at it and be like, that's England, that's Wales, you know. It's very much a mishmash. It starts off with basically you follow, like Frank said, it's Michael Sheen talking to Ewan Rheon, and it seems as though, I got it anyway, that Ewan Rheon was like a new recruit into like the kind of the resistance force.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, it's just a little bit of an intro, just saying, you know, it's going to require a lot from you because you can't tell anyone. And it's very shortly after that then that the German soldiers...
And you see him have a bit of training, he gets given like a big sniper.
And his
dad doesn't even know what he's doing. So like his dad's a bit, you can sense like a resentment from his dad that like, why aren't you fighting?
Yeah, you got that sort of vibe that maybe his dad... looks at him as kind of hasn't achieved much, but secretly he's fighting for his country. Yeah. And like he's got, he hides his gun under his like floorboards in his room and stuff. But then it doesn't really focus on the men at all.
Yeah.
It very much focuses on the women and what they do while their men are gone. Hmm. And Angela Riseborough, who's not Welsh, I don't know about you, I was a little bit drunk when I watched this, to be fair. Shock. But I didn't think her accent was too bad.
Yeah, I saw online there's people who were pretty pissed off they weren't Welsh accents, but I thought there was quite a lot of Welsh accents throughout.
Every other woman, like the wives, I think they were all actual Welsh people.
But
I
thought it was fine.
I thought she was fine. Yeah. I think, you know what I thought was good is that she undersold it, as opposed to, you find a lot of people overdo.
They do one Welsh accent, and they don't do...
It's not area specific.
People just do that. I'm from where? Yeah,
they never ever do like the area specific one. I thought she did put a few inflections on, but not enough that you even noticed too much. It was almost like her natural kind of English accent.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's Scottish, actually.
I actually didn't realise she wasn't Welsh, so it worked enough for me.
Exactly, it was not bad. Most of these, like the Welsh actors, I'm saying, have quite small bit parts in it. It's mainly focused on that sexy Jesus, Thomas Welsh. He's the classic soldier with a heart of gold type thing. Yeah. You know,
he doesn't really want to be there. He's aware that they're going to hate him. And it is a mad concept, thinking if you're an occupying state and you've come in and you've taken over somewhere, you can't just kill everyone. You have to kind of win people over.
Yeah.
And also, if you're a good person, but you have to go to war, you're probably thinking, well, this must be shit for them. He has like a lot of empathy, doesn't he?
Yeah. He is very, he knows full well that the husbands, for example, have a part of this resistance. He knows that that's the only logical reason that there's no men here. But he doesn't kind of like press the women for that too much. He knows full well they're not going to betray their husbands and things.
And that kind of like, if you go into this film thinking you're going to get it, I think calling it resistance makes you think you're going to have this great big...
Well, I was going to say, action. I think they made a mistake calling it resistance because I had a certain expectation. I wasn't expecting it to be proper gung-ho and like sort of crazy action scenes. But I was expecting a little bit. A
bit more gung-ho.
And it is a slow burn.
It's a slow film.
I dare say boring.
It's a dull film.
It's a dull film.
I read a really funny comment. So there's quite a few negative comments online. It's probably like a middling film. Like I see a lot of people give it like 5 out of 10. Me and Jack do Letterboxd, so I'd probably
give it 5.
I'd probably give it a 3.
I think I gave it a 2.5.
2.5. I think I give it a 3 just because I really like the cinematography, but I did watch it whilst doing something else.
Mm.
So it is quite boring.
I did try and give it my full focus, and I did find myself... You know when you have the urge to watch your phone, you look at your phone, and that, don't get me wrong, that's everyone's got that these days. But it's.
But I mean, you love films.
Yeah.
You would
if it's an engaging film, I don't feel that urge.
And it's only 88 minutes.
It's I did think this is a long 88 minutes. Like, like I said, we've done the good stuff now. Yeah. We can slate it, right?
Well, this comment was really funny, which is so like, so you can complain about this film for various different reasons. You can say it's too slow or it's not got enough bite or whatever. But this one thing said, can I give negative 10 stars, please? Resistance is an ill-conceived 2011 film premised entirely on D-Day failing and the Nazis invading Wales. Worse, the entire film plays it as if it were true. If you're still reading this, that game could now... that game could play ad nauseum. What if Christ never appeared? Or Shakespeare? Or the Roman Empire never fell to the barbarians and Rome still ruined the world? Or what if the Brits defeated the colonials and the US didn't exist? So he's angry at the idea of a concept.
Of something that... yeah. That didn't happen.
Yeah. Like, you know, like fan fiction and like... what's that term for, like, fantasy fiction?
That's like fantasy history as a whole genre itself, isn't it, you know?
Yeah, and alternative history. Yeah. But like, that's for the premise. You can't be... It's like you could watch the F1 film and be like, it's all about cars!
Right. Isn't a real F1 driver?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, and I just thought it was so funny.
Well, we just make fun about anything these days, is it? Make it all up.
What? The Black Pearl.
Oh,
what?
He's a tiny little people called hobbits in little mountains with rings. Oh, fuck off.
But
so angry.
Some of the things I did think were cool, though, the setting beautiful, the cinematography great. Like all those films, when they linger for too long, it's a bit boring. But there are scenes where you go, oh, shit, that's really good. Like, at one point, you hear distant bombings and artillery getting closer. And they're on this, like, quiet farm. And they're like, oh, you can hear it getting closer. Mm. And that stuff brings realism to it. And you think, oh, shit, that's really...
Because they are in a village out of the mix, really.
Well, like they said, London's under siege, Manchester's under siege, Bristol's fallen. Like, they saw these things.
It was cool, like, for that world-building element. Yeah. And I think that kind of added to the frustration almost in that I was like, ooh, I would quite like to see a bit more of that, you know? Like, instead of just this idyllic village where the guy in charge is a real nice guy and is actually not really causing much friction, because he's very anti-friction, there isn't much to work with, no drama to work with.
I think the point was to be like, oh, these women are just as important as the men who do resistance because they don't like say an awful lot of like helping or conspiring with the Germans. But it's like, but they don't have to do much resistance because the guy's quite nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, there's a point where they're trying to find this artifact in the mountains.
That was another thing. It's meant to be, and I thought that was kind of interesting. Yet again, a source of frustration for me. I wanted to know more about that. It's basically the reason they're there. They're trying to find this old artifact. It's like a Celtic map or something.
Mm.
It's meant to be like a Celtic map of the world.
Okay.
And he finds it quite early in the film. Yeah, the sort of leader, but he pretends that he hasn't found it because he knows once they've found it, they're just going to move on, and like I think it's implied they're going to exterminate the village.
But
just
also,
like,
he doesn't want his men to go back to the war and go back to places like Manchester in the siege because they fought for so long. He's like, listen, it's nearly over, but you could still die in these sieges, so let's just stay in this quiet Welsh village.
And we have it easy here. Like,
and he wants to kind of replicate that life. His wife has died, so he's trying to find like a new life. He even dresses. They end up wearing the Welsh ones,
they
civvy clothes. Yeah. And it's kind of like, hey, look, let's start a new life.
We're the new men here now, But it's, again, it was like that thing. It touched on something quite interesting. It was like an old artifact, and the way it looks is like this. It's not a proper map of the world. It's like what you'd expect, like someone from the Iron Age to a thick old Iron Age Celt to put pulled together.
Maybe a little bit later than that because they have like Latin on it and stuff.
Do they?
I know what you mean. It's like
it's meant to be ancient. Yeah, and basically, he says at one point he leads the kind of main girl, Angela Riseborough, to see it and says, "This is what we're looking for. I've known it's been here for ages, but I've crossed off the list, so no other men come in here." And it's like, why do you want it? It's like, just to destroy it. And you're saying, like, the only reason the Nazi High Command want me here is to destroy it because it negates, like, their worldview sort of thing. It had, like, it touched on these very cool things.
But then it just goes straight away, doesn't it? It's like, well, I'm done with that idea.
And, like, there's incredible acting in it. Like, there's a scene with Angela Riseborough and this Thomas Welshin, and there's kind of an attraction between them. But obviously she's like, would never go there because he's like an enemy basically, but she can like sort of acknowledge that he's got like kind of a good heart and whatever. And they have like a right now towards the end where he's sick to death of like all these orders that are coming through and everything. And he doesn't want to be a part of it anymore. And he says, why don't me and you just run away together?
Yeah.
We can go to France and we'll just, you know, no one will ever know. Yeah, we can be together. We can be happy and all this. And it's like very well done. The acting between them and, she says, yeah, why don't you go? I think she says, like, go and meet pack some. Meet me at this place. And she never turns up. He comes back. And hasn't she, like, killed herself, if
no,
I remember?
She left a, no, she's...
I thought she killed herself, but left the note.
No, she left a note, but then she went. She said, I have to go find my husband. So she goes up into the mountains, and she just,
I've completely biffed that.
It looks like she goes off into the Black Mountains.
And then the scene after then is her wandering the, like, misty mountains. Yeah. That's right, yeah.
Well, yeah, I did... What was quite funny is they do, like, a Welsh county fair. So, like, they do the Royal Welsh Show.
Oh, yeah,
It's attended by loads of Nazis.
there's all guys in, like, Gestapo gear.
And there's literal swastikas at the Royal Welsh. So it's like...
And they're all commenting on, like, how good the ponies are and stuff.
So people don't know, the Royal Welsh is, like, an agricultural... Like, a huge agricultural show in mid-Wales, in, like, Bilth Wales. And we and Jack have both been there for work for years. Yeah. But this is... It's still the same. It's, you bring out the best heifer, you bring out the best horse.
Yeah, they have, like, the best pig competitions and stuff.
But it's that with loads of Nazis.
It's much better than we're making it sound. It is actually quite a good laugh if you go up there. There's beers galore.
But did you notice there in the background they had a violin version of Sea Organ?
Yes, it did. Because I was thinking, I was like, ooh, that's a bit of a slower version of it. But I was like, I know that tune from somewhere.
It's me and Jack's
favourite. And then I was like, Sea Organ. I was like, yes.
And it was quite banned seeing a bunch of Royal Nazis at the Royal Welsh. But then, and then that's kind of like a little pivotal part. Iwan Rayan's walking around, and he's the guy you see at the start, who's the sleeper agent for the Welsh.
He's the latest addition to, like, the resistance.
One thing they're told is, if, and this comes up, like, later on, Michael Sheen says, if anyone collaborates with the Germans, you have to kill them as well. And this lady, who has not been a collaborator, she has this amazing scene where she realizes her husband's dead after, like, thinking he's been alive for a while. And that's, like, a really good scene. It's a bit like a shell shock
acting,
moment.
Yeah.
She slightly befriends a younger German lad.
Isn't it because, like, at the Royal Welsh, she's got a horse that is competing, and she can't, like, drag... She's an old lady, so she can't, like, bring the horse and all the shit with her. So they dress one of the German soldiers in, like, her dead husband's gear.
And he takes that as, like, he misreads like the scene.
Looks like they're together, you know, they're helping each other.
So then later on, the only gunshot you really... Oh, actually, to be fair, you do see some people get executed. Iwan Rayan, there's all these German soldiers, like, he kills
litter in the village.
And the only person he decides to take it out on
the old biddy.
He tries to shoot the old biddy. I don't know if he tries to shoot her and misses and kills the horse. Because he's the old biddy and the horse in the field, like, just them on
the prize horse, I might
add. And then he like gets a sniper out, he's really intense, it lingers for too long, and he shoots, and the horse dies, and she then goes into shell shock.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if he missed her, or if it was a warning to be like, don't dance with the
I took it as like, he didn't have the bottle to, like, shoot her, so, like, last minute moved the gun and shot the horse type thing. But yeah, that's a, because, it's that bit at the start, it's, at the very start, as I said, with Michael Sheen and Iwan Rayan, and you saying how hard it is, that's where it calls back to later on, where the conversation we pick up where it left off, and he's saying, like, it's not just about, you know, killing the Germans. He said, we're going to have to kill anyone who collaborates with them as well, which is where it's like, you know, killing your own countrymen type thing.
And he's always good in anything he is in, but I always do find he's so over the top. Michael Sheen, so full on. And he's been, like, beaten up. And when he's running, he runs like how we... I don't know if this makes sense, but, like, how you'd run in a theatre. Do you know, like, if you ever watch, like, a play? We're not... The
super exaggerated.
He's like grabbing his coat and he's like, oh!
He's meant to be a bit battered, isn't he? Like, he's been tortured or something.
And he's got a big black eye, but he's running like he's like...
Even if you were a bit hurt, you wouldn't run like that.
He's running like his legs come out on the side rather than, like, walking front and back.
He's got to swing him round with every stride.
And I do find, like, he kind of possesses theatre acting, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's absolutely fantastic when he's, like, I think when he's directed well.
Yeah.
You know? This is me now judging Michael Sheen, Jewel of Wales.
I do think, he's probably one of the best Welshmen ever, but I do sometimes think his acting's...
Have you seen, you must have seen the trailers for Nye, thing? Yeah. And it turns me off watching that so much. He goes, I want a nationalised health service.
Although, I have got an alarm on my phone for me and you to go watch Owain and Henry.
Yes, I want to see that. Yeah,
so I thought we'd buy tickets for that. Like, they go on sale on the 8th of August. So if people don't know...
Have a little review of that as well, guys.
Yeah, he's... Michael Sheen has got this new show. He's bought, like, the fucking legend he is. Because the National
Completely
Welsh
funding
has gone under, he's paying for it. So
he's gone under. It's been fucking, like, funding has been rescinded.
He's decided to use his own money.
What an absolute hero.
He's not mega rich. Like, he's had to use loads of loans and stuff to do this.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, he's you think of him as a celeb. He's a Welsh celeb, certainly. But he's not like Hollywood royalty.
No, not
really.
He quit acting for a while, and he gave loads of his own money, because when the Homeless World Cup came to Wales, it was the people who were funding it lost, couldn't afford anymore. So he sold a house and did like got loads of loans to pay for it.
He's a hero, man.
He definitely is.
Puts his money where his mouth is as well.
But yeah, he's done this. So actually, I don't think the so he's doing a play about Owen Glyndwr and Henry, which I think is Henry III, about their relationship. Which will be really interesting. Mm. Doing a because Owain fought against Henry's father, and then Henry himself became king in his lifetime, and then that's like and that's the same Henry. He went to Agincourt, and he's defined by his response to Owain Glyndwr and how he dealt in France and stuff. But they also had like a slightly he's focusing more
complicated
on the people,
relationship. Yeah. There's not going to be any like battles, fucking 100 people battles in it. It's going to be the emotion of it all. Yeah. But so, no, I think that'd be really interesting.
Yeah. So that's coming out.
Let's go watch it and get tanked up afterwards.
So we'll definitely we'll get that tickets for that. So
definitely. Yeah, I'd be keen.
And back to this one though. That's pretty much like I said. It's not a huge film. Nothing massive happens, but it is cool if you enjoy.
If you like your films and you like the sort of especially Welsh films or Welsh adjacent, certainly film
and
Wales,
especially your American listeners who want to see shots of Wales.
Yeah,
they do beautiful shots of the Black Mountains.
Yeah,
which is Banau Brycheiniog, the Brecon Beacons.
Mm.
And it is quite cool to see like Tintern Abbey and stuff like that, which is all in Wales.
I always get a buzz out of seeing actual Welsh places on screen, you know, sort of thing. So it is worth a look. Like I said, I think because it was called Resistance, I had an idea.
Yeah.
I didn't watch a trailer
especially
or anything.
Because in reality, they were given tons of explosives, loads of guns.
All this training. Yeah. I definitely thought we'd see something.
Yeah.
Like maybe just one little op they did. You know?
I thought that'd be cool.
I thought maybe halfway through, when the German guy, the sort of leader, was really being really nice.
Yeah.
Like maybe two or three of his men would get blown up by some sort of like resistance. Booby trap that these guys had left, and that would make him come down a bit harder.
There's one scene where Ioan Rheian keeps going under a bridge like a little goblin, and then there's nothing.
He's going to like get like secret messages, but nothing seems to happen with him. You know?
Yeah. It does feel like it's such a cool story.
I feel like they didn't have enough budget to make it real. I'd be interested to see what the book is about. And maybe if there was more action in the book.
Yeah. But again, I think the whole focus is on these women whose husbands have gone away.
Yeah.
And it's meant to be kind of a character piece.
I do think you could still focus on that by maybe having, you know, the actions of the men. Even when you show them, like, they've booby-trapped something under a weapons cache or something.
Yeah.
And then a few German soldiers die.
Yeah.
And so the lead German soldier has to come down harder. And it's about how the women sort of are resilient to that.
Yeah.
Resist that, you might say. I think it could have just been done a little bit better. I don't know.
It's kind of like she's resisting cock.
Yeah. She is trying to resist his cock. And he's a dishy boy as well.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. 2.5, 3 out of 5.
I
think that's probably... I probably was a bit more lenient because I enjoyed the scenes and it's in Wales, but it wasn't great.
No, it wasn't. Well, my favourite. It did beat that Boudicca film that I watched not that long
ago. Well, that's the other thing. So, give us some films to review if you enjoy our little film series. This could be our
Welsh review, Welsh film review series or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Welsh film would be much better. It rolls off the tongue a lot better. Yeah. Welsh review series clubs.
Yeah, so we can do Welsh film club. Let us know. Gad and Igwybod, speak to you all soon.
Cheers, guys. Ta-ta.